This is a story from the Reb, the great tzaddik, Reb Meir of Primishlan. And a Yid came to him, and the Yid said, I've always, my whole life, wanted to go to Eretz Israel. I want to live in Eretz Israel, and learn Torah and in Eretz Israel, and be there with my family. It's such a halakha place, the most halakha place in the whole world. But it's very hard to get money in Eretz Israel, and it's a big expense to travel. So I need a lot of money. I need at least 400 rubles. And so I ask you, please, Reb Meir, a bracha that I should be successful, be matzliach, in raising the money and getting the money together and making the trip. And Reb Meir asked the Yid, how do you think that you're going to get so much money together? Because he saw this Yid was not a rich man. He saw he was a big Talmud Chachem and a Ben Taira, but not a rich man. And the Yid said, well, I figure I would travel to certain relatives and I would ask them to help me. And one relative is in one city and another relative is in another city. And Reb Meir said to the Yid, oh, that would take you a long time. And the Yid said, yes, but what can I do? I would rather sit and learn Torah, but I have to travel to get the money. And Reb Meir thought for a minute, and he says, I have a better idea. Why don't you stay right here, and I will help you myself to get the money that you need. And the Yid was so surprised, he said, Reb Meir, I don't want to bother you to get money for me. That's not your thing to get money. Your thing is to be giving brachas to people and to do all of the halakha things that you do. I don't want to bother you with getting money for me. I would just like a bracha that I should be able to get the money in the way that I could get it. And Reb Meir shook his head. He says, no, I have a very good idea. Just stay right where you are. And he asked the shamish, the helper, who used to help in the shul and in Reb Meir's things that he did. He says, please open the door and let in the next man who is waiting to see Reb Meir. Now usually, the man who saw Reb Meir first goes out of the room, and then the next person goes in the room. This is called yichidus, to be alone with a tzaddik for a bracha. But this time was different. The first yid stayed in the room, the door opened, and all of a sudden the next man starts to come in, and he looked like a very wealthy businessman, sort of a man, dressed in very beautiful, nice clothes. And he came in the room, and all of a sudden he noticed that the first yid had not left, so he didn't know what to do. Should he go away, or should he stay? And Reb Meir says, no, I want you both here, because I would like to tell both of you a story. Oh, now they are both surprised. All of a sudden, Reb Meir is going to tell a story to the man who just came in and the other yid. Well, if Reb Meir is going to do that, how many boys would like to listen to the story that Reb Meir told the two men? All right. Here is the story. A story inside of a story. That's right. Shh. Reb Meir said like this. One time, there was a man, and his name is Reb Moshe. Not necessarily there was, there still is a man. His name is Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe is a very wealthy millionaire man. He lives in a beautiful, beautiful big house. And the house is full of all the best things, beautiful furniture, and carpets, and beautiful paintings, and delicious food, and plenty of money. And it's nice and warm in the winter. It's nice and cool in the summer. There's big windows. And Reb Moshe has brachas in his business and in everything that he does. Now, next door to Reb Moshe was his neighbor, Reb Matisyahu, who was not a rich man at all. I'm not saying he was a poor man, but he was not at all a rich man. He just got by with just having enough for his family, and sometimes he had to struggle, sometimes it was difficult to have enough money. He lived next door to Reb Moshe. Now, Reb Moshe had a certain problem that whenever a beggar would come to his door, the beggar would knock and he would think, "Oi, I see a mezuzah. It's a Jewish home, a beautiful, nice home. Maybe they'll give me some food here because I'm so hungry. Or maybe they'll give me some warm clothing because my clothing is all torn and I'm freezing in the cold." And he knocks on the door hoping to have some kindness from the family. And they would open the door, and especially if Reb Moshe himself would come to the door, he would see the beggar and he would say, "What do you want?" Not very nice, is it? And the beggar say, I would like some warm food. Is that possible?" And Reb Moshe say, "What do you think this is, a restaurant over here? What do you think it is over here? Maybe you have something warm for me to wear, some old clothes or something?" And Reb Moshe would scream, "What do you think this is, a store? This looks like a store to you? You think it's a restaurant over here? Go away. Go next door to my neighbor. Maybe he'll help you." And he slams the door in the beggar's face and doesn't give anything. And he would go back to his table and eat his delicious meal. This is Reb Moshe, what he would do. And the beggar would go next door to Reb Matisyahu. And Reb Matisyahu would open the door. And he would see the beggar. Oi, come in. Come into my house. I feel so bad for you. It's so cold outside. Let me give you something hot to eat, something hot to drink, and something warm to put on. I see your clothes are torn." Akinalak, Reb Matisyahu did tztaka and gemilus chasadim and achnasas orachim, and he would take care of the beggars. And Reb Moshe would slam the door in their face. And Reb Moshe had servants, and he told the servants also, "If a beggar comes into the house, if a beggar comes near the house, comes to the house, don't let him in. If they come into the house, throw them out. I don't want to have any beggars in my house. Send them next door to Reb Matisyahu." And this is what Reb Moshe did. Now, Kenelach, everything we do in the world makes an effect. It goes up into the Shemayim. In other words, things happen from what we do in the world all the way up to the Himmel. Like if you throw a little stone in the middle of a little lake, and the stone hits in the water, all of a sudden it sends out waves into the whole lake. Especially when we do a mitzvah. All kinds of things happen all the way up to the Himmel. And if chas v'shalom a person does an aveda, also makes things happen. Now all kinds of things were happening now up in the Shemayim because of the behavior of Reb Moshe. Now, first of all, the Malachim were not at all happy, and good reports were not given to Hashem about all these slamming the door and screaming at beggars and not giving them and keeping everything for himself. This certainly was not getting a lot of points for Reb Moshe up in the Shemayim. Every time Reb Moshe would slam the door on a beggar, there was a big bang in the Himmel. The Malachim said, "What's that big bang?" And they saw that it was the banging of a door. Now, a little banging of a door on the world makes a big, big bang in the Himmel. Because everything that happens in the world happens in a bigger way in the Himmel. Like it says in the Tanya, that for the sun, you know, if you stick up your finger or you have a stick and there's a shadow, the shadow comes from the sun. Let's say the shadow moves a little bit. Why did the shadow move a little bit? Because the sun moved a little bit, right? Like you take a flashlight and you move it a little bit, the shadows move. The same thing. If the sun moved a little bit, the shadow moved a little bit. But for the shadow to move a tiny bit, the sun has to move thousands of miles. Because whatever happens here in a little way, when you go up into Shemayim, happens in a much bigger way. And we're talking only about the sun, which is in the Gashmiyus Tikkehimmel. And in the Ruchnius Tikkehimmel, and the seven himmels, it's much on a bigger way. And from every tear that came out of the eye of a beggar, because he was so hungry, and he was not given food from a nice, beautiful house. You think only a tear fell in the Shemayim, or there was a big marble in the Shemayim? A big marble of tears in the Shemayim from those beggars. And another thing, when Reb Moshe would go to shul, oh, everybody gave him kavod. Here comes Reb Moshe, very important man, big millionaire. They gave him a special seat on the Mizrach site where the important people sit, and somebody gives him a tilim, and somebody else gives him a sitter, and they give him an aliyah, and they make sure that he's comfortable, and they bring him a tea, and they bring him sugar, and they treat him so nice, and they bring him a cookie, and they bring him a chumash. And when Reb Matisyahu comes into the shul, do you think they gave him a glass of tea? You think they sat him down in the comfortable chair? And do you think they gave him a tilim and a sitter and an aliyah and kavod? Of course not. And so, Kinalach, in Oilam HaSheker, in the world of things that are not emes, things like this can happen. But up in the Shemayim, everything is emistic. Shh. And the Malachim could not stand that Reb Moshe is given this kavod, and Reb Matisyahu is given nothing at all. Nobody even pays attention to him. And so, they called together the Beis Din Shalmaila, and they said, we have to make a judgment on this Reb Moshe for what he is doing. He has everything good, and so much of everything good, and he does not share. And he slams the door in the beggar's face, and he sends them to Reb Matisyahu. And they were about to decide the punishment, because he was given chances to do tshuva. And they were about to call out that Reb Moshe is going to lose all of his money, his house, all of his things, everything that he has, he's going to lose it. He himself will have to become a beggar. Where will it go? Where will all of his wealth and all of his money and all of his things go? And they decided, well, let it go to Reb Matisyahu. Let him become a big millionaire. He'll for sure know how to use out the money to do good things, because he's doing good things even without too much money. If he had more money, he'll probably do more tzedakah and more chesed and more hachnasas orachim. And they were about to make final the judgment and the punishment when all of a sudden one voice called out in the Shemayim, wait, stop. It's not fair. Let's go down and make sure that everything is the way it is that we think it is. And who was speaking now? All of a sudden was there Eliyahu HaNavi. All of a sudden Eliyahu HaNavi was there. As we know, he's a Malach in the Shemayim. And he said, it's a pasuk in the Torah. There are a few psukim like that. Like it says by Noach, where the people of the tower, in the time of the tower, were building the tower and making chutzpah against Hashem, and it says Hashem came down to see what was going on. Wait a minute, if Hashem is everywhere, why does he have to go down to see? So it's teaching that the judges, or when a person makes a judgment, they should not just think they know everything because of what they heard. They should go down and make sure. To make sure it's exactly that way, you should go down to find out every little thing. So Eliyahu Navi said, we're hearing everything from the Shemayim. Let me go down, and I will test Reb Moshe myself to make sure if everything is the way we think it is. And so they said, okay, we'll give a last chance. Eliyahu Navi, you will go down to test Reb Moshe.
And all of a sudden, Eliyahu HaNavi now came down into the world, dressed up like a beggar person. He was really just a malach. And he comes to Reb Moshe's door of his beautiful big home. And it was a very cold, icy, snowy, windy night. And he knocks on the door. And Reb Moshe comes to the door, or maybe his servant came to the door, it doesn't matter. And they open the door a little bit. Who's there? It's me, a beggar. I'm so cold, and I'm so hungry, and I'm so thirsty. Please, can I have a little bit of food? Maybe something warm to drink? And maybe you have some old sweater or old covering that I could put over my torn clothes. Could you please help me? It's freezing out here. And Reb Moshe says, you bother me in the night that you come to my house and you want to bother me? Don't you know how busy I am? Go away. And he slams the door. But, please, please, this is the voice from the outside. Please help me, I'm so cold and hungry. Oh, go next door. I have a neighbor next door, maybe he'll help you. I don't know if I can make it next door. I'm so weak, and I'm so cold, and I'm so hungry and thirsty. I don't know if I can walk on the slippery ice and snow all the way next door. Can you please help me with some food or drink or clothes? And Moshe says, go away, leave me alone. I'm busy. I have to take care of things in my own house. And now the voice outside was crying, please, please, help me, please. And Moshe says, no. Kenelach, outside Eliyahu HaNavi started to really cry. Do you know why he was crying? Do you think he was crying for himself? Does a malach feel hungry and thirsty and cold? As we know from Parshas Vayera, the malachim don't feel these things. He was crying for, do you know why? Why was he crying? Why do you think? Come here.
Because he wants to Rabbi Isha to be respected in Shul.
Well, that's one way of putting it. Who else could put it in a different way?
Because he wanted him to do teshuva.
That's right, and he's not. Why do you think he's crying now?
Because now he knows the truth that Moshe is really not giving to the beggars, and now he feels bad for the beggars that they're right now, when they were by his house, they're cold and hungry.
You know, you're saying right. Who is it the biggest Rachmanis on? On the beggars? Or there's even a bigger Rachmanis? On whom? On which person? Is the biggest Rachmanis now?
On Reb Moshe.
On Reb Moshe, that's right. On himself. Why? Come here. Why on Reb Moshe is the biggest Rachmanis?
Because he's going to lose all of money.
Because look how low he is. A person is cold, freezing, and thirsty and hungry, and he doesn't have in it to share and to give anything to him. Isn't that the biggest Rachmanis? The biggest Rachmanis on Reb Moshe himself. And so they called up, and so they called out in the Beis Din Shalmaila that Reb Moshe now, according to what we have seen and we have found out and what we have heard and according to what Eliyahu HaNavi just had happened to him as being a shliach from the Beis Din Shalmaila, we now have decided that Reb Moshe, who's done so many not nice things to the beggars, and he's so selfish that he only thinks of himself and takes care of himself and only his own family, and he doesn't have the heart to share with other people, he has to be all of a sudden, wait! They almost said punished, and all of a sudden a voice comes out of the him, oh, wait! Who's that? It's not Eliyahu HaNavi. He already said wait. And we already did what he said. Who else is in the Himmel now? All of a sudden, Kenalach, now remember, Reb Meir of Prima Shlan is telling the story to the two men in his room. Isn't that right? Okay. Reb Meir said, Kenalach, that at that point, at that time, Reb Meir himself had something very special happen to him that only the very biggest tzaddikim have, which is called Aliyas HaNeshama. The neshama goes way up in the Himmel. Sometimes a tzaddik in the world, because a tzaddik is so halik and his neshama is so halik, his neshama can go up in the Beis Din Shel Maila. At the same time the tzaddik is, of course, alive in the world, his neshama can go up in the Beis Din Shel Maila. Reb Meir of Prima Shlan's neshama went to the Beis Din Shel Maila before they decided to punish Reb Moshe. And he said, he went in the Beis Din Shel Maila in front of the Malachim, in front of Eliyahu Navi, and he said, wait a minute, before you do this thing, this great punishment, there's one last thing that I would like to do. And everybody was looking at him, all the Malachim, and the Beis Din Shel Maila, and Eliyahu Navi. And there, Prima Shlan said, Moshe has not been warned. Let me warn him. Maybe he just does not realize what he's doing. He's so caught up in his money and himself. Let me warn him. Let me warn him of what's going to happen to him. Maybe that will help him to do tshuva. Give him one last chance. And Kenalach, everybody in the Beis Din Shel Maila respected Reb Meir of Prima Shlan, and they saw what Avos Yisrael he had, even for this Reb Moshe, how he wanted even to help such a person. And this is the whole idea of what a Rebbe is and what a Tzaddik is Avos Yisrael and helping other Yidden. And so they said, okay, Reb Meir, we'll give you the last chance to help Reb Moshe before we put the punishment on him. We'll let you warn him. Now, Kenalach, Reb Meir had finished his story, and now he was looking at the two men that were in front of him, the Talmud Chacham who wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and the businessman. And the Talmud Chacham had been looking at Reb Meir the whole time. And all of a sudden, he looked next to him at the businessman. And the businessman's mouth was wide open. His eyes were popping out of his head. His face was red. And he was crying. And he said to Reb Meir, that Reb Moshe in the story, it's me. My name is Moshe. And everything that you talked about in the story, it sounds exactly like me. I have a big, beautiful house. I have a lot of money. And I have a next-door neighbor named Matisyahu. And I'm always so busy. And I'm always so thinking about my business and myself that I send away to beggars. I guess I don't realize how I talk to them. I guess I don't realize how mean I am to them, how not nice I am to them. Oi! And I keep everything for myself. I never share. Oi! I'll do anything to fix it. I'll do anything to do tshuva. Rabbi, please help me. Please help me. Please give me my last chance. How can I do something to fix it? Well, Kenalach, Reb Meir smiled, and he said, Reb Moshe, I see that you realize what you have been doing and what you have not been doing, and now you see yourself, how you can fix things, and you want to fix things, and that's what tshuva is all about. Right now you have a chance to help a Yid who needs money, to go to Eretz Yisrael with his family to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs and to daven in Eretz Yisrael. And can Allah, Reb Moshe turned to the man next to him, the Talmud Chacham, and he says, "Oi, I'll be so glad to give you whatever you need. Please, let me help you. I want to help you." And Reb Meir says, "How about giving the man the 400 rubles that he needs to go on the trip and to start out in Eretz Yisrael?" And Reb Moshe says, "Gladly, gladly." And he reaches into his pocket and he takes out 400 rubles and he adds even more than 400 rubles. And he says to the Talmud Chochem, "Please take this, go to Eretz Yisrael, and when you get to Yerushalayim, please daven for me. Please daven for me that I should go in the right way and serve Hashem in the right way. And my heart should be in the right place. And I should think of others, not just myself." And so it was, Kinalach, that the Talmud Chochem got the money that he needed, and Reb Moshe got the help that he needed for his own neshama, and both things worked out in the same time and in the same place, with, of course, the help of the great tzaddik, Reb Meir of Primishlan. And that, Kinalach, is the Maisa. Now, Hashem first tests a person on a small thing. If they pass that test, Hashem helps them to get bigger and better things. But if a person says, a small thing is too small for me, it's not important, I only need a big thing, then they won't have a small thing and not a big thing. Now, we know two great tzaddikim. David HaMelech was a great king, one of the greatest kings. Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of the Jewish people, two of the greatest men that were ever in the world. What did the Eibishter see in David HaMelech to make him so great? You know what he saw? A very small thing. What did Hashem see in Moshe Rabbeinu to make him to be a very great person? Also a very small thing. They were both shepherds. Hashem watched them take care of little animals. Hashem saw the way they took care of the shepselach, the little baby sheep. They made sure he goes to the soft grass. The stronger sheep go to the stronger grass. The older shepselach go also to the soft grass. And if they get their little foot caught in a rock, he runs over to help them. And if they're thirsty, he goes and takes them to the river to get a drink of water. Hashem said, "Look, they're careful in taking care of these little shepselach, both David HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu. If they will be so careful taking care of these little animals, they for sure are going to be careful taking care of each yid, making sure that each yid gets what they need." So by being a good shepherd, they became the shepherds of the Jewish people. First you do a small thing, and then from that you can do a big thing. First you have to do a small thing. First you have to do a simple thing. Then you can do a better thing. First pass the small test, then you can pass the big test. The only thing that you can ever lose and never get back is time. You lose a toy. "Oh, look, I found it. It's under the couch." You got it back. You lost a watch. "Oh, look, the baby put it in the drawer. There it is." You can get it back. You lost $20. I know somebody that yesterday lost $20 and they found the $20. You lose something good, you can get it back. But if you lose time, if you lose a minute or 5 minutes, it's wasted. It's gone. The time was wasted. You'll never get it back. You cannot get back the 5 minutes.